Thank you to everybody for coming and joining this relapse prevention workshop. Why don't we start with the OA promise? And I will say it. You can certainly say it at home. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Thank you. So I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Padma. I'm a recovering food addict, been in the program for over 30 years, and I will be your facilitator for this workshop. So once again, thank you for joining us on this Zoom Relapse Prevention Workshop today, June 5th, 2022. This workshop is being recorded. However, your picture will not be recorded because this will be a voice-only recording. And you'll be able to share your contact information by putting your name and location in the chat at the end of the meeting. And if you're on a computer, you're welcome to use the gallery view or the speaker view. So let me give you an outline of what today will hold. First, we'll have our three speakers who will present for 10 to 15 minutes each. Judy, whose talk is titled Connection, then will be followed by Charles H. His talk will be From Desperation to Transformation. And then Loretta, Soulful Solutions. After the presentations, we'll have time for you to ask some questions of the speakers. And the way this will happen is you'll put your questions for the speakers in the chat directed to Wendy at the Ask It Basket. And if you're on a telephone and you have a question, you can press *9 to raise your hand. And all the *9s will be put into a breakout room where you'll be able to ask your question. The co-host, Larry, will note your anonymous question and add it to the queue for you. And after all the questions and answers, Claire will put us into breakout rooms and we'll be given several writing prompts to choose from. We'll write for 5 minutes. And those who wish will have time, 10 minutes, to share their writings. And we encourage everyone to share because it can really bring a greater depth to your experience. So, Judy, you are our first speaker. Take it away, Judy. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. My name is Judy, and I am a compulsive overeater. And thank you very much for inviting me to share within this workshop on looking at relapse. It's such an honor and a privilege, and I am very grateful. First of all, I'd like to emphasize the point that I'm talking from my point of view and my own experience. So take from it what you would like and leave the rest. On page 48 of the AA 12 and 12, it says, human beings are never quite alike. And so what works for me may not work for another. So you have to be in control of that. I've actually just had a birthday, so I've been in recovery for 27 years, and along my journey, I have had several relapses, and the slogan that I like to use is progress, not perfection. If you see OA as a three-pronged attack, physical, emotional, and spiritual, I achieved my physical recovery first, and I lost 10 stones, which is 140 pounds. And it was fairly quickly within about the first 2 years or so of my recovery. I was fortunate enough to start my recovery in a treatment centre, which gave my emotional recovery a kickstart. I'm sure the people here at this workshop have different views about what a relapse is. And I think that's right, because OA is a body of people who come from lots of different walks of life and lots of different experiences. But the way it looks for me, relapse, is I'm constantly thinking of sugar. I'm feeling hungry all the time. I'm grazing throughout the day. Meals don't have a beginning, middle, and end. But within that, I also look at my behavior. So it's not just eating, but it's behavior. Because when I eat badly, and mostly sugar, which is my addiction, then my behavior is really unacceptable. So I'm bad tempered, I'm missing meetings, I'm not making commitments, I'm isolating, I'm duvet diving, I'm just not nice to be around. And as I've gone on in OA and begin to understand myself, I can almost predict a relapse. And a relapse for me can be caused by a number of things: being tired, being lonely, illness. I've got several conditions that I'm working with, and the latest is atrial fibrillation, which is rapid heartbeat, and I'm waiting to have a procedure for that, but it's extremely uncomfortable and difficult to live with. And I can be sad, I can be disappointed, things aren't going my way. The steps have brought me to a more balanced, accepting view of my life. Step one, I'm powerless. Step two, came to believe in a power greater than myself. Step three, made a conscious decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand him. With these three steps, I feel that action is needed. These are just not things that you can just do, for me anyway. I had to change my way of thinking, and I found that I had to put action in to take these first three steps. And I was very motivated. I didn't want to go back to the living hell I was in before recovery. My way of thinking had to change, and that was the action, bringing with it the third part of the three-pronged attack: the spiritual side of the program. And that is why I called my share Connections, because for me it's about connecting with a higher power, and God is to understand it. I had to make a decision to take an action to change my life. I had to want to do it, and I was desperate. I couldn't do it on my own. I'd already tried that. Step four, take a fearless and moral inventory. And in page 56 of the AA 12 and 12, it says, others will relapse periodically until they really clean house. Now, I do the steps on a regular basis. I've done a lot of steps four, but that actually means you have to look right, you have to look left, you have to look in the corners, you have to lift the mattress up. You have to really go. Otherwise, you know, you're just not going to get where you want to be. And it's the layers of the onion. And I'm sure everybody's familiar with the term, you know, layers of the onion. You peel it back. But even under the layer that you've just taken off, there's another bit, you know. And the thing is that if you do not do this, then you're going to be stuck, and you're going to be talking about the same problem for the next 20 years. And believe you me, I have a brother who is doing exactly that. So it's a huge motivation for me not to. I don't want to be in that position. And that is what's extraordinary about OA. It's its spiritual side. I want recovery and I'm very motivated. And that's when things click. When I get into the spiritual, they click. And there's a very distinctive click in my head. And my demons appear to get smaller and I start to expand spiritually. And boy, is that's quite something. Many people in OA find it hard to identify with the word God. And often here in meetings, people don't, you know, they think that OA is a sect that's going to indoctrinate you. But, you know, believe you me, I was absolutely desperate when I found out about OA and I came into the rooms. And so the word God didn't put me off. I didn't even really notice it, actually. But now I look at it as God, G-O-D, gift of desperation. Perfect. Right. You know, that says it all. I was absolutely desperate and I couldn't connect with anything, anyone. I was, you know, in total isolation. And I know that I am an overeater and that I have a condition that can only be treated by a spiritual connection, a spiritual solution. That's it. That's my experience. My last relapse was in 2020, where I'm sure all of you are familiar with that period when the COVID arrived and we were asked to stay in lockdown. And a relapse for me is about when I want to take my life and my will back. Because frankly, you know, not to do outside issues, but the politicians weren't doing a great job of it. And I didn't have any hope, no hope. And I thought, you know, this is it, you know. So I went back into the sugar. And, you know, it's an interesting place to be. And that doesn't mean that I'm saying to people, go out and have a relapse and you'll be cured. Far from it. But in my case, in my recovery, and with the hope that I'm hoping to spread, a relapse has always exposed an area of weakness in me where there is a lesson to be learned. And I feel the spiritual side of the program is absolutely the most important part. And it came to me later on in recovery, that knowledge. And certainly with that relapse in 2020, because it helped me deepen my relationship with God. And in making that connection, that is where my learning happens. And it's remarkable. I'm certainly not complacent about working my program. It takes discipline, open-mindedness, and being willing to learn. And I need to be teachable. You know, I actually don't believe there is a cure. I was born a compulsive overeater, I'll always be. But, you know, a compulsive overeater in recovery. So I don't think I'm ever going to be recovered or sorted out. But I do believe that God can and will do anything that is for the ultimate good. And if I am ready to receive his help, if I'm willing to connect, then I will receive that learning. Page 84 in the big book says, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which previously have baffled us. How does that come about? I know I've changed with this spiritual guidance. Big, dramatic, significant change in my life, which I could not do on my own. I used to avoid funerals and weddings like the plague. I was pathologically allergic to regular exercise. Now I do it daily. Meals just went on. Now they've got a beginning, middle, and end. A true testament to my recovery is that I have made friends that are long-lasting friendships with people who tell me they love me, they honour me, they respect me. And, you know, which is wonderful because I came in and I was very isolated and very alone. I couldn't form relationships. I repelled people by my behaviour. And another thing I want to say, because it's a very big issue here in the UK, is that I know myself well enough to have the confidence to stand up to people who are bullying and inappropriate with women. And I do it in an appropriate, loving way. I feel I've come a long way from my mother beating me with a horsewhip and growing up hearing, "You're fat, you're ugly, you're a complete failure. No one is going to love you and you have no children and you've got grey hair." That was my baggage when I came in to OA. I was completely floored by how my mother treated me for 42 years before she died. And I grew up with a language of negativity that has played in my head for years. In the big book, page 84, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. That has been my experience. So to finish up, I've had my ups and downs in recovery, and relapse has played a part. OA has enabled me and empowered me to keep moving forward, physically, emotionally, and most importantly, spiritually. Every day I write a gratitude list, which helps me focus on the positive rather than the negative. I find it that invaluable. Tradition 5, OA 12 and 12, page 120. The flow of a healing power that fosters our recovery. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Judy, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Our next speaker will be Loretta, who be our next speaker. And Loretta's talk is called Soulful Solutions. And Loretta, how would you like the reminder for your time? Loretta needs to be unmuted.
There we go. Hi. The 10 minutes and then 1 minute, please, would be great.
Okay. Okay, so before you begin, Claire would like to make an announcement. So one moment, please.
Just a quick announcement. I was asked to enable live transcript, which we did, but we are reminding everyone that there is no permission given at this meeting to take pictures, record in any way, or capture the live transcript in any way. So we ask that you respect both our traditions of anonymity and also that the speakers here today are protected. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. Okay, Loretta, please share with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, hi, everybody. I'm Loretta, compulsive overeater, coming to you from the Zoom land in San Diego, California. And I want to, first of all, thank Wendy for inviting me to come speak and for the committee for all the hard work and for OA as a whole for helping save my life from killing myself with food. And I also want to welcome newcomers who are here for the beginning of their recovery. May you hear something that makes you want to keep coming back. It's an incredible journey. Just to start off, my journey in OA has been a journey of love. I am learning how to love myself, how to love you and my fellow humans, and to love a higher power of my understanding that I call the great mystery. I've been in OA for 33 years and have been abstaining from sugar, which was my drug of choice, for 18 years. And I have, oh gosh, only 9 months of back-to-back abstinence from compulsive overeating. And so I am very familiar with this topic, relapse, and so I'm going to share a bit of my soulful solution on how to get out, how I got out of relapse, and then how I'm learning to stay out of relapse. I also, to qualify, I don't think I shared, I'm down 115 pounds, and one day at a time I will be the weight that my great mystery wants me to be. So I'm going to start reading for newcomers. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous is our fellow program, and so we use their literature. And in it, it says on page 64, when our spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So that tells me where my solution needs to be. And so, coming from an atheistic, 4 generations of atheism, that's been a very slow progress, and it's working. How I get out of relapse is that I never quit. I keep coming back. Even when I relapse, I keep showing up, keep doing the deal, keep working the steps, keep being of service, and hopefully I don't ever have to do that again. And I also expect miracles because I see it in the rooms all the time. So many of you folks have recovered from this disease one moment at a time, one day at a time. We don't get permanent recovery, or none of us would need to stay here or keep reaching towards a higher power. And then the other thing is that I find whatever way I can to grow spiritually. And I'll tell you more about that in my in a little bit. So how to stay out of relapse. I have 9 months of experience this time around with this. It says in our book of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, and I love this spiral notebook that I can open it up, and it's just so you can get those put into a spiral if you ever want. So page 4 of the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, it says, clearly, if we are to live free from the bondage of compulsive eating, we must abstain from all foods and eating behaviors that cause us to eat compulsively. But this, too, has proven impossible for us to do by our own willpower alone. So there it goes again. Tells me that I have a spiritual solution. So I'm going to just describe what that looks like for me. My abstinence is an abstinence that I'm learning that I can live with in any circumstance. I like things to be, you know, but life isn't in a cookie cutter world. So my abstinence is that I abstain from compulsive overeating, period. And I know that for me, when I'm compulsively overeating, it's when I can't stop. No amount is enough. And so in order to do that, I have to stay away from my alcoholic foods, which number one was sugar. Blatant white sugar just sends me down spiraling. And I also avoid added salts and grease. And I don't do that perfectly, but I look at my path in recovery is like this. And then on one side of the path I have rigidity, and on the other side I have flexibility. And when I go too far on either side and go off into the ditch of rigidity or flexibility, That's when I break my abstinence. So my job is to just stay in the middle on the path. And I do that also by a behavior that is not eating at night. I once dinner was over, that's when it started. And so I just don't eat after dinner's over. On page 5 of the 12 by 12, it says, if we are to stop eating compulsively and stay stopped, we had to find another power stronger than ourselves for relief. So that's what the rest of my talk is about, is what do I do to seek that soulful solution? And I do that by, even before I get out of bed, I pray and I meditate. I spend about 20 minutes of either quiet meditation or guided meditation to help calm my, just to help put me in the right frame of mind. And then I also say prayers for the people that I love and that are needing help, for the people that are suffering around the world. And we have a lot of that going on, so I put them in my prayers. And then if I get interrupted through that process, I also have another reminder. When I get out of bed and I go to make my bed, I have a prayer tie that I put on my pillow. And that's a reminder that if I haven't done my prayer and meditation, to do that now. And then when I go to bed at night, I take that prayer tie off, and that's when I give thanks. That's when I write my 10th step. So that prayer tie helps me. And in that 10th step, for those who are new, that is one of our maintenance steps. Steps 10, 11, and 12 help us to stay on the path of recovery on a daily basis. And that's where I share where I've had resentments or fear. So there are many things that I answer in that. And what that does for me spiritually is that I share it with my sponsor. That's letting her in on my inner world. My disease of isolation kept me alone and private, and I didn't open up. So sharing my 10th step with another human being and my great mystery allows me to let others in. And then in that 10th step, I write a gratitude list. I share things that I'm grateful for, and I try to do that a different thing every day, and so that I don't get rote and just in a habit, and it helps me to take a look at the day. And speaking of gratitude is an action word. That is the next workshop on next week, on the 12th, that this, in the same Zoom room that the virtual region is putting on. It's gratitude is an action word. So I invite us all to join that. So I guess one of the biggest helps for me is spending time in nature. Oh my goodness. I think that many of the spiritual traditions have encouraged us to take time, quiet time out in nature. I personally get grounded, rooted when I am out in nature. And so I have a garden, and I try to grow edible landscaping. So I grow a lot of my vegetables that I eat. And to watch the little sprouts come up and to see flowers bring bees that help pollinate it gets me closer to God, if you want to call it that. And so spending time in nature is really, really huge. Another other acts that I do to grow spiritually is I go to church. I've found a church that resonates with my eclectic way of thinking and growing spiritually. So I go to that every week, and I also go to 2 meditation meetings to support my recovery. I spend an hour at one and an hour and a half another doing all kinds of meditation, from sitting meditation to walking meditation, and it helps me to still my mind and to focus it onto what the path of joy rather than the path of sorrow. And speaking of joy, that's another thing I try to do daily is to find something that that fills my spirit, that leads to joy. And I look for that every day. That's a major part of my recovery. Let's see, what else? Oh, yes. The way I treat myself and others with loving kindness. I used to have the horrible self-talk. Oh my gosh, I beat myself up royally when I'd make a mistake, or I would just take on shame and guilt. And today I do my best not to do that. Every once in a while, when I'm vulnerable, haven't had enough sleep, or when I am going through a lot of emotional stuff, I'm a little bit more susceptible to negative self-talk. But as soon as I notice it, I change that thought. It's a third step. It's a matter of a decision to get out of that and to go back to, oh yes, I'm doing the best I can. Oh yes, I made a mistake. And it's okay. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. So being kind and loving to myself. And then I'm able to be kind and loving to you folks. Oh my gosh. So, and you guys teach me how to do that. You reciprocate it. It's an incredible loving interchange. And then another huge thing that I do to grow is to hold my discomfort. If I have strong emotions, I'm scared, or I'm worried, or I'm angry, or I hold that like it's my baby. Like, oh, I'm here for you, sadness, or I'm here for you, fear. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be there for you. And I sit with it, and I give it the love and attention that it needs, rather than running or stuffing it. I don't have to stuff it if I'm just willing to be uncomfortable for a bit. Then it leaves, it passes. Then the last thing I'm going to share about is service. Oh my gosh, service has been a way that I get to give back what I've been so given. And so I find ways, not just in the program, but I love giving service to OA, but to wherever. In my prayers in the morning, okay, show me, great mystery, how I can serve today. Who can I help ease their suffering and bring joy? So I've learned so much through service, thanks, Mindy, in different capacities, how to get confidence to be able to speak in front of a group. Oh my goodness, I could never have done that. I used to be a really, really shy and introverted person, and today I'm able to do things that I've never been able to do because of service. So if you're not being of service, I encourage you, because it helps us to grow tremendously. Thank you all so much for being here. Just being here is a being of service, and hope that the newcomers come back and welcome everybody. Take care.
Oh, Loretta, thank you so, so much. And now we will hear from Charles H. And the title of his share is From Desperation to Transformation. Take it away.
Thank you very much, and thank you, committee. You guys did an admirable job. My name is Charles H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm trying to get to a shady area so I can get settled. I'm so grateful for both of the speakers. You guys knocked it out of the park, and I pray that that someone can be blessed by this committee. My talk is called From Desperation to Transformation. And if I was to put an AKA on it, jump off the cliff, and I'm going to explain that one in my talk. So for me, it was about, accept, we hear about the three A's in program: acceptance, awareness, and action. The other day I heard an OA member shared about a fourth A, which is abstinence. So abstinence, awareness, acceptance, and action. So for me, abstinence came first as a result of the awareness and the acceptance, realizing that awareness and abstinence was not enough. And therefore, not to say that abstinence and awareness and acceptance is not action. However, I'm saying that it was not enough action for me. So the action that I have to take is work these steps like my hair's on fire, the traditions and the content. Because I was one of those dudes that, man, I thought, people at Virtual and people at Region and people at World Service were always police officers. And I always clashed with a lot of people because I have fear of authority. You know, I could give you 50 fears off the top, but I ain't going to do that in this talk. So from desperation to transformation, AKA jump off the cliff, Charles. And so I've always been a person on the edge. On the edge. So I was on the edge because of me. I was on the edge because of my addiction. And, I hear a lot of people say they struggle with addiction. I never struggled with addiction. I got an A+ in addiction. I did great in addiction. I never relapsed because I didn't have recovery. Today, I can call myself a recovered compulsive overeater because I realized that I'm a flawed individual. And, I could call it jealousy. I could call it anger. I could call it this and that. But the big book calls it, there's four core character defects that I trigger every single day because I suffer from the human condition. And I heard this at the 2016 OA Boston World Service, that perfectionism is the highest form of spiritual abuse. And I want to come from the doctor's opinion when it talks about in the course of his third treatment. Now, there's a word that we could identify with right before that paragraph, and it's called hopeless. And someone wiser than me, a big book historian, told me all I had to do was draw a line from hopeless to recovered, and that's all I'd have to do. I'm not going to spend time on the literature. You guys know the literature better than the person that wrote it. But if you take a look at that paragraph, that's all you have to do. I'm not one of those people to say, this is my favorite paragraph in the big book. No, the whole damn big book is my favorite paragraph. The whole big book. And the OA 12 and 12 and the AA 12 and 12. So my causes and conditions is what pushed me over the edge. Because guess what? The lion, the deer, the elephant, the rhinoceros, my fears, my buildup of human emotions, my resentment, they were going to push me off anyway. So when I jump off the cliff, that's what I tell sponsees. That's why I don't have any right now. And I'm fine with that. Jump off the cliff. I don't want to hear your complaints. I don't want to hear your bitching. I don't want to hear your moaning because, if you jump off the cliff, you can either die or fly. I jumped off the cliff because my situation was going to push me off anyway, from desperation to transformation. It pushed me off, and guess what? I didn't die. Something that I don't know about, something greater than myself, had me flying. And that same power, I'll explain to you, in my opinion, the thesis statement in the big book. It's located on page 45, where it says, lack of power is my dilemma. That's my issue. Power. I don't have power. So I don't care. Watch them leaving. I don't care. This is my 15 minutes, and I'm shooting my shot. So I don't have power. I don't have a relationship. I could tell you that I'm a Christian. I could tell you that I'm a deacon. I did not have power. Those things were good, but it wasn't sufficient power to bring about recovery for me. Lack of power is my dilemma. And the power to master these emotions, these buildup of human emotions, was what drove me off the cliff. It was desperation of transformation. Page 52, all the bedevilments, those were the things that drove me off the cliff. I hear people say a lot of things about the 10th step. The 10th step can be done anytime, not just at night. The 11th step can be done at any time. It could be done throughout the day, especially throughout the day. I'm good. I'm a good boy in the morning. I could meditate for 100 hours in the morning. But when I'm in the thick of it, yeah, I know y'all laughing. Y'all could identify. When I'm in the thick of it, suffering from the buildup of human emotion, if I can go to the bathroom, I can do a 10 step. Too many times I hear people, my job, my cat, my boyfriend, my husband. Man, if it wasn't for that 10th and 11th step, I don't even know about a 12th step, because guess what? I try to carry the message. I tried to carry the message based on my spiritual condition. I know one thing. The big book is full of five things. Conditions, prayers, promises, warnings, and questions. Five things. And I need to ask myself, do I want to stay recovered today? Or do I want to fall victim to the buildup of my human emotions? Because food is not my problem. Food is my solution for 9 seconds. Then here comes the remorse, the worry, the morbid reflection. That's what drove me off the cliff. It drove me off the edge. Because guess what? Something's going to push me off the edge anyway. So I might as well just push myself off the edge ahead of the fears, ahead of the resentments, ahead of the buildup of your emotion, ahead of the happiness, because happiness can push you off the cliff too. You know, I could go on a spiritual zeal and be like, you know what? I am so recovered. I am so high. I'm higher than those resentments. I'm higher than programmed people. I don't need to get involved. Screw those traditions. Screw those concepts. Yes. And you know what? Regent, I respect you. I love you. Regent Chair, I want to make an amends to you. I was harsh. Yes. Virtual Regent, virtual intergroup, I want to make an amends to you. I didn't believe in you until my emotions pushed me off the edge. A sponsee of mine, a sponsee that used to be of mine, used to always put Virtual Regent, you know, put all the workshops, and I poo-pooed on it. I also poo-pooed on the tools. And I want to make a shout out to the tools, that the tools is the banisters to the steps. You know what? This meeting is great, but it's a tool. The big book is great, but it's a tool. People are great. The fellowship is great, but it's a tool. So the tools for me is the banister to the steps. And when I got desperate enough and got sick and tired of being sick and tired by being dominated by these negative emotions, fear. Y'all heard, you know, abbreviations for fear. I don't know if you ever heard this one, but I'm gonna say it. Frustration, ego, anxiety, and resentment. Fear is underneath everything. I can give you 20, let me give you 20 fears right off the muscle. Fear of change. Fear of what you think about me. Fear that you not think about me. Fear of the buildup of human emotion. Fear of being afraid. Fear of speaking. Fear of not speaking. Fear of silent scorn. Fear of resentment, fear of my wife not being happy, fear of my boss, fear of y'all, fear of racism, fear of the addiction. I can keep going. Fear of whatever, right? Why do I have this fear? Self-centered fear, trusting in my finite self. Self-reliance fail me. I'm trying to do a fear inventory with you. That's how quick it is. Fear prayer. God, please remove my fears and direct my attention to what you have me be. What do you have me be? He'll have me pray about it, make amends, and recover. Let me do a resentment. How much time? I got time. Resentment. I resent politics. Why? It affects, it's not working. Hold on, let me give you a good one. I mean, it's a bad good one, but it's a bad, bad good. You know what I'm saying? I resent massacres. Why? Because it's killing innocent people. What does it affect? Everything. Set aside prayer, sick man prayer. I'm inconsiderate because I judge. I'm selfish. They didn't read from my script. I'm self-seeking and dishonest, not accepting people, places, and things. Afraid, a fear of people dying. What's the sex one? I look at women in a way that I shouldn't, right? Notice I didn't say I had sex with women. I looked at women in an inappropriate way. I was dishonest because I'm married. I was selfish because I disregarded my marriage for that human second. What could I have done instead? I could have not looked at her like that, or I could have repented. I could have did a 10 step. Boom. Those are the three inventories right there. It shouldn't take, you know what? Work these steps, Charles. I'm speaking to me like my hair is on fire. That's the desperation from transformation. And get into them traditions too. Give up that lofty host thing and move on to something else. Tradition two. go on to something else. Real leaders, this is what I learned in the tradition, empower others to be leaders. Don't be grabbing on to stuff like it's yours. It's not mine. We all should get a ride on that pony. And that's why I stepped up to be a regional intergroup rep. That's why I stepped up to be an intergroup rep for my meeting. Not my meeting, our meeting, a meeting that I represent. I'm not a bleeding deacon today. I'm an elder statesman because of these tradition steps and concepts. So desperation of transformation, yeah, it was my condition that brought me to that. It was my resentment. It was my fears. It was the buildup of negative emotion. It was, you know, getting knocked off that high horse. There's no celebrities in a spiritual program of action. The people that put this thing together, you guys did great. I just hope the newcomer gets, you know what, convinced or compelled or convicted to do something about their situation. It's simple, but not easy. I had to turn over all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. This isn't Bill's story. This ain't me making it up. You know, I'm a student of the big book, and I learned. And I like to use these final minutes to realize that, you know, my grand sponsor was really right. He's a circuit speaker, but I'm not gonna blow his anonymity. He always says, the least utilized steps is 2 and 10. The most misunderstood is 3 and 4. Because, you know, many people I hear, you know, I've been on this third step for 5 years. What the hell are you doing? 5 years trying to make a decision? You sound like the person, Charles, you sound like the person, what classification 1 in the doc's opinion, making many resolutions, but never a decision. Over remorseful, full of self-pity. Jump off the cliff, Charles. You might die or you might fly. And I'm gonna leave the rest of the time on the clock for those asket basket people, those people that want to ask questions, because it's a good thing to do that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you very, very much for your enthusiastic presentation. So thank you, Loretta and Judy and Charles. Thank you for sharing your experiences, your strengths, your hopes, your visions, and your humility. So thank you very much. So now we're going to move on to the Ask It Basket. And this is an opportunity for people who have questions for the speakers or for a speaker. So you can direct it at all three or just at one. Sorry, go ahead.
I think the first question that I want to start with is the one from Michelle, who says, where can I find a recording for this meeting? We put that in the chat for people to see.
It will be posted on the Virtual Region website, probably within 2 weeks of the workshop.
2 weeks, okay, thank you. And then Lorraine asks, when are you in relapse? How do you get out of it?
Hey, this is Charles H. You get out when you're ready to get out. You get out when you're desperate enough to get out. Nobody's going to force you to get out. No human power. Remember, lack of power, the thesis statement in the big book. Lack of power is our dilemma. So we have to find a power greater than ourselves. And of course, that means we're going to talk about God. You can read that in We Agnostics. But the real answer is nobody can force you to get out. You need to get out when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Great. Thank you, Charles. The next question I have is, how do you apply loving kindness to yourself in relapse or newly out? And it's directed to any of you that would like to respond.
I say it, I ain't want to be greedy, but by working the steps like your hair's on fire and loving yourself enough to realize, don't beat yourself if you suffer from the buildup of human emotion. Food is not your problem. Food is my solution for 9 seconds. Be kind, be loving. And I'd say this too, consistency trumps intensity. Most people, you know, most humans, yeah, I'm on fire. I'm doing a million meetings a day. I'm eating water and lettuce, and that's not going to suffice. But consistency, because guess what? I'll share this with you. Went to the doctors, and you know, I don't know if we can talk about food here, but there was two foods that raised my cholesterol. And right away, I called my sponsor. He was like, just cut it off. That's it. Done. And loving to myself and realizing that beating myself up over something that I can't control if I didn't know by not going to the doctor's office is not going to help. But little by little, I found out that my grand sponsor always says this disease is progressive, permanent, and fatal. And if I'm not doing more than I did yesterday, it's going to snag me from behind and kill me in active addiction. I'm not saying go crazy. I'm not saying sponsor a million people. Just follow the yellow brick road, which is the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the concepts one day at a time.
Oh, hi. Great, you can hear me. I wanted to say that what I said in my share was the fact that I was in a living hell when I came into the program was the motivation. So I got to the point where I was, you know, and each relapse is, if I get to that point and it's hell, I don't enjoy it. It's not pleasurable. And so that is the motivation to come out of it. And what I said was progress, not perfection. And it's, you know, it's, and that is the thing, is I'm accepting that I'm not perfect, that I do make mistakes. And that's where the forgiving is, that I'm not perfect and I do make mistakes, but these mistakes help me to grow and learn. And I also want to say that, you know, nobody was able to tell me that answer. I had to find that answer for myself, because there is no quick fix, in my opinion, because you see, you have, in order to get recovery, I have to want it. And there is a way, it's changing my way of thinking, so that I, you know, that gift of desperation puts me in a way so that I think, my God, I just can't take this anymore. I have to change what I'm doing. And so it's a gradual process, because I've been in program for 27 years. And you see, addicts, in my opinion, have short-term memory. And it's something you have to relearn again and again. So, you know, I hope that's helpful.
Thank you. Loretta, did you have a response to that particular question, please?
Hi, I'm Loretta, compulsive overeater. And what reminds me is that step 7 says that we humbly ask God to remove our defects of character. It's not our job to remove it. Thank goodness. It's like if I had cancer, I wouldn't, you know, I don't have control over that. I have a disease. So what I need to do is to make myself more in line with my maker, and keep practicing, practice, do everything I can that is in my power, practice the tools. I use it. It's like food was a security blanket when I couldn't handle life as it was. And I put it down and I practice a tool, and then sometimes I get it back up. And so I just keep practicing it, and pretty soon I don't need that tool anymore, because I've got a lot of other tools that help me. And in the meantime, the spiritual principle of step 7 is humility. I can't. God can. So just keep practicing. Keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I have a couple more questions here. What is Judy's experience of expanded spirituality? What did she mention or mean by it?
It means that the connection is deeper. I find it difficult to describe because it's so natural to me now, because it's almost as if I'm hearing something in my head. And, you know, I will have a worry or an anxiety, or I'll not know which direction to go in. And the answer comes. And it's this sort of inner wave. And it probably to some people that might sound really weird. I'm quite happy for people to think I'm weird, because I feel that it happens. I'm describing my process, how it happens to me. And as I said in my talk, everybody's different. So it will happen to others in a different way. But, you know, as another speaker has mentioned about finding the voice in nature, it happens to you in the way that's right for you. And this is the way that it was right for me, is a voice. It comes in and I can start my day thinking, I don't know how I'm going to cope with the day. And then the answers come. And sometimes I've got my list of things to do, and you know, I don't manage to do all of it, but I'm following what the voice is saying to me. The guidance, it's a voice of guidance. And when I don't listen, because there are times that I don't listen, I get a parking ticket. You know, it's things like that. It's a very, you know, and I thought, well, I did have the voice in my head, but I didn't, you know, I didn't pay any attention because I thought it was ridiculous. So it is, you know, my job is to keep listening. That's my job, and to be open-minded and teachable. So I don't know whether that helps.
Thank you, Judy. Wonderful words of wisdom. The next question I see is about for Charles. Charles, can you repeat your acronym of FEAR, F-E-A-R?
Frustration, ego, anxiety, and resentment.
Resentment, okay, thank you. And I think this would be for all the group. When you are in relapse, how do you get out of it? I think Charles hinted at that. Loretta or Judy or Charles or Loretta, what would you say when you're in relapse, how do you get out of it?
I think that's a very specific question. And I don't think there's a specific answer to it, because each person has to find their way. And my way was becoming connected. And, you know, that I had to hit rock bottom and I had to make the decision, this is hell, I don't want to be here. And I had to decide to work the steps and open up my mind and connect. That's a very specific question. And, you know, I don't think there is an exact answer, because we're all individuals. And we all find our way that's best for us in our own individual ways.
Thank you. Thank you.
So if I may add to that, in my talk, I talked about the third, I believe it's the third paragraph in the doctor's opinion, when it talks about in the course of his third treatment, it was talking about, Dr. Silkworth was talking about Bill W. And that word before hopeless, and the last word of in the course, that paragraph is, to recover, if you draw a line from that and follow that paragraph to the T, that's all you got to do one day at a time. So I think that's a very specific answer. You know, Bill did it in the hospital. He drew a line from hopeless to recover, and he took action in the hospital, and he recovered in 3 days, and he didn't stop, even though he suffered from a mental illness, even though he didn't do 10 steps. He got saved by 11 and 12 steps. Dr. Bob as well, because he says in his story, he suffered with abstinence, not abstinence, but the buildup of mental obsession for 2.5 years with abstinence. So that's like holding your breath number one.
Thank you, Charles. And I thought your message was very, very good, because you talked a lot about just jumping off the cliff, and that's really what you really need to do. I appreciate it. We have several more questions here, including a statement. Due to my life circumstances, a busy mom of a 5-year-old, teacher, wife, etc., combined with my disease excuses, I struggle to go to any lengths when my life is not my own. I want to go to a meeting every day. I would love to walk in nature every day, yet I struggle to do that. But just doing what I can isn't working. Is there any way you can help?
Yeah, jump off the cliff.
Jump off the cliff, yeah. Thank you, Charles. Anyone else? All right, Charles, here's another one for you, sir. What were the four A's that you talked about?
Abstinence, awareness, acceptance, and action.
I keep getting questions about that website. Can we repost it as to where this will be? That's one of the better questions that I've been getting. To Loretta, 30 years in OA, 9 months abstinent, correct? How do I overcome breaking and keeping going with feeling this as a long process and not giving up because of God's mercy and grace for me to continue when I'm feeling that I'm not good enough? Do you have any answers for that?
For me, what I did was that I kept changing my inner talk of I am a worthwhile child of God. My very first sponsor had me write 70 times for 7 days the opposite of whatever it was that my head was telling me that was crap. What is the opposite? And I had to reframe what I was telling myself. So that was one of the tools I did. The negative self-talk is just learning how to be kind to myself. It's just a decision too. Okay, I'm noticing I'm beating myself up. What is the opposite? What message do I really need to be hearing and telling myself and repeating it over and over and over? That was one of the tools. As far as the long-term abstinence, I had many periods of abstinence in those 33 years. I maintained a lot of my weight loss for much of it. The last 40 pounds came in the last 9 months, but 60-some was before. I just kept practicing. I'd fall and I'd get back up and practice again. Keep practicing, keep practicing, keep practicing. And telling myself as many loving messages as I possibly can. That's all I can think of right now.
Thank you. Thanks. I see that we are just about on the timeline here, so we can continue the questions in the after meeting. Thank you.
Chris, thank you so much for being our Ask It Basket person. And thank you for your answers and participants. What wonderful questions, insightful and thoughtful.